Association of Broadcasters and this station.
And we're back here on In Focus, News Radio KMAN. I'm Nick McNamara, filling in for Brandon Peoples while he goes off and covers the Harrison case at Riley County Court. Currently in studio with me is Dr. Timothy Schaefer from the KSU Institute for Civic Discourse and Democracy. We've been talking about a few different things here. And as we went off, you know, you've touched on it earlier in the show, probably the first segment. We touched on it in the last segment. But you've expressed an interesting interest. That's a bad way to phrase that. You expressed an interest in land-grant institutions, and, well, here you are at one.
Yeah, yeah.
How did that first begin?
Well, not directly. So I guess the long and short of it is that I have, especially academically, kind of an interesting background. So my training is in all sorts of fields. Started off in theology and philosophy and then went into public administration. So I got an MPA. And then it was during that time that I was working at the University of Dayton in the Fitz Center for Leadership and Community. So this campus-based unit that does a lot of collaborative work across that region in southwestern Ohio. And I was just really struck by kind of university-community partnerships, the idea that universities are not just places where you go and get degrees, but they have these really important civic roles to help address a whole bunch of things. And so I helped create something that's called the Rivers Institute, which has only flourished since I've left. It's this really interesting place that has commitments to education, engaging K-12. So now they call it a mobile lab, but it literally is a semi, a tractor trailer that they will pull up and put in front of schools and places. And there's this whole kind of experiential thing you'll walk through. And so they introduce students to the aquifer and what that even means and where water comes from and what are the impacts upon it. But, you know, the Rivers Institute, for example, does those kinds of things, but also engages in some of the science research as it's connected to kind of water quality, but also thinking about economic interests. So, right, how do we help depressed regions think about kind of new emerging kind of economic opportunities and utilizing some of these natural resources, these assets that literally are often going through cities. And so it was during that time that I was there and working at a place called the Kettering Foundation, which is in fact where I'm going to spend the rest of this week in some meetings, that I got introduced to some people who were doing work in the realm of what I became known to me as the land grant institution, right? This, and I knew that, right? Some of that language, what it meant. So, you know, 4-H and some of that, you know, this extension thing, but I wasn't really ever involved with that as a kid. And it was really only at that time that as I was really thinking about the roles of universities and community, I kept coming upon these kind of historical examples of how these universities have played really vital roles since they were founded, and especially after extension started in the early 20th century, in 1914, formally across the country. And so as, you know, life happens and fortunate, I met who would become my academic advisor, so the person who mentored me through my PhD, and I went to Cornell University, which is this interesting place. It's both an Ivy League school, but also a land grant for New York State. So it had this kind of interesting dynamic in history, but I was on the land grant side and just got immersed in this field and work. And I was working on this project that book, the oral history book, The Jumping Into Civic Life book, was a project that I worked on throughout my time during my PhD. And so I just got more immersed in that. I ended up writing my dissertation on this. I have a forthcoming book on that particularly. I've written a bunch of articles and chapters. But just being struck by the commitment that the government made to this idea of establishing these institutions in the 1860s to say, how do we make education affordable and accessible to all sorts of people? How do we reduce some of these barriers? And also, how do we align the classic liberal arts with these really practical disciplines and fields? And so, you know, engineering, you know, the A&Ms, that's what all that meant. Agriculture and mechanical engineering, mechanic arts as they talked about it, right? So now thinking about engineering more broadly. But That's really kind of where it started, and it just kind of set me on a certain path that, you know, I think of myself as this engaged scholar who does work as it relates to universities and communities, but I have this kind of focus, this specialization, if you will, looking at land grants and extension. So, and I'm really happy to be able to do that. And to be at the Institute for Civic Discourse and Democracy here at K-State, I think is just a further embodiment of that notion of what it means to be a land grant today as it connects with the ideas of doing this big time basic research, which is vital and important, and also this kind of community work as well.
And K-State kind of does exemplify to a degree that that land grant quality, that civic engagement quality, especially on the local level, just with how engaged they are in the local community. I mean, coming from Long Beach, California, I can tell you I'm not sure how big of a role Cal State Long Beach played in the city there, but just based on the size of the city, I don't know if they would have had to.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of universities are increasingly embracing this kind of mission. There are organizations like Campus Compact, which have formed since the mid-1980s to say, how do we think about the civic mission of colleges and universities? You know, lots of other efforts. But, you know, a lot of it is built on this deep land grant tradition.
And we do have a caller. Go ahead, caller, you're on In Focus.
Okay. Hello?
Hello there.
Yeah. Am I on the air?
Yes, you are indeed, sir.
Okay, well, you were talking about the origination of Kent State University being the first land grant college. And what was the name that you were saying was called at that time?
I was having a little trouble here. And what was it called at that time? Is that what you were asking?
Yeah, I think the first land grant institution you're referring
yeah,
to.
Yeah, so K-State was the first operational, right? And we have some scholars here on campus who would really point to that. And it was Kansas State Agricultural and Technical College, I believe.
I thought it was Kansas State Agriculture and Applied Sciences, KSAC. I'm not sure.
Yeah. It's gone through a couple iterations, but yeah, that language is more accurately reflected, and that's part of, you know, where these universities over time kind of changed their vision and mission. So they became, you know, a lot of them just adopted shorter terminology and language. But this is where, you know, Texas A&M, you know, the agricultural and mechanical arts, those kinds of titles. Some kept it, and others kind of abandoned it as they became more of a kind of a contemporary university.
Thanks so much for that call. We've got to go off to our last break of the morning. We'll be back here shortly with more from Dr. Timothy Schaefer on In Focus on News Radio KMAN.